April the 5th, 2023. This program is brought to you by New Africa Excellent Enterprise, LLC. Imam Dr. Miraj Speaks Black Talk Radio, where we teach Quranic Arabic, Islamic studies, and comparative religion, not just religion. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. With Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer, As-salam alaykum, which means peace be on you. I'm your host for this evening, Ilahi Bey. My topic this evening is Al-Islam, the tafsir of Imam Muwahhiduddin Muhammad, commentary of the Holy Quran. If you have missed any of the talks, go online to www.blogtalkradio.drmirajspeaks.com and you'll be able to listen to the ones that you have missed. Once again, we will open with a short dua, and then we will continue where we left off last Thursday. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulihu kareem. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam mubarak. The Quran Surah 29, Ayah 33, Lot's white flag behind unjust. Genesis 19:26, Lot's wife, pillar of salt. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made man from clay, then king, pardon me, pardon me. Ta'ala made man from clay, then clay means accepting to be corrected. That's the nature of clay. It yields to be formed. If you don't accept to be correct, then you are like baked clay. The Quran, Surah 11, Ayat 82, punished with baked clay. Baked clay has to be broken. It can't be shaped. And IWDM wouldn't like to be punished with baked clay. Would you rather Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala punish you with your own wrongdoings, with your evils, with your sins, and force you to become disciplined that way? Or would you rather he feed you morals and spiritual understanding and bring you into conformity? Rain means feed thirst for spiritual moral guidance. So rain means that he feeds your thirst for spiritual and moral guidance. Baked clay means punish because of sins make you rigid. So baked clay means to punish you because it's your sins and it made you rigid. People giving themselves to sin, the more they give themselves to sin, the more rigid they become. They don't listen to nobody. Disobedience. Soon their form is sick like that. And they can't be changed. Would you want to be punished with that? Or would you like to have morals and spiritual instructions that give life and growth? The Quran, Surah 29, Ayah 33, Lot's wife lagged behind unjust. Genesis 19:26, Lot's wife, pillar of salt. But this Lot's wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. Sin has a way of it says Lot's wife was turned into a pillar of salt because she disobeyed the instructions. Well, that she not look back on Sodom and Gomorrah. For disobeying, she kept dwelling on sin that had been committed, and she became herself embittered like salt. It's better. And she became herself rigid in her own self, righteousness, rigid and stiff, like a pillar of salt. Because, pardon me, he was reflecting on the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah and wasn't reflecting on God's deliverance. If she had been remembering God's deliverance, then that thought would have made her lively and human. But thinking only on the evil of the past, she became embittered and rigid in her self-righteousness. Those who become like that make baked clay. Their sinners burn them, and the more it burns them, it burns out the spirit, the supernatural, pardon me, no, the spiritual reality, morality. They become rigid like a stone to dwell on sin all the time. Stop dwelling on sin. Dwell on the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So bake clay on those who dwell on sin, and on the sinner falls on both. Don't think of clay running down on you. Think of you being baked like yourself, bake clay like yourself. Instead of teaching of the religion, the revelation, instead of it making you the human being you should be, because of wrong disposition of your own mind, the same teaching that made others human and lively makes you rigid, a stone, dead to human senses, sentiments. So they'll read the Quran sometimes more, and then they all the time reading it. And the revelation coming to them, but instead of making them morally and spiritually human, it makes them salty and bitter, or self-righteous, and makes others like clay, hard, rigid, and won't listen to anybody. You got to say nothing. You say it right. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us clay, but he wants us the kind of clay for him. When he wants us to yield through correction, and when he wants us to become rigid against disobeying him. So there are times when we should be rigid clay. Pottery, clay, against influences from the outside. But we have to be, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us soft clay, before God, we are soft clay, but before the world that asks us to come away from God's guidance, we are rigid. We'd rather be destroyed than to yield. Law, salt. Law, lot, say, salt. The Quran, Surah 29, Ayah 33, Lot's wife lagged behind. Genesis 19:26, Lot's wife became a pillar of salt. Luke 14:34, salt lost its savor. What good is it? So the depths of the water is the knowledge. Salt water is deep knowledge of human nature. Salt out of the water becomes rigid, a stone. Sensitive people don't want what salt water. My, what is they talking about? The Old Testament, the water of the human would have become too bitter for the masses of the people. Their sensitivity were distasteful, did not have any appeal. So the water that the people did not want was the salty water. The water of the ocean. So what is salty water? Salty water comes from the ocean, and it has depths. It is very deep. So what does this represent? It represents knowledge, education, and sciences of the human nature had to become dead, dull things for the people. It did not have savor. If the salt has lost its savor, what good is it than to expect to be thrown out into the earth? But it worked good for a long time. So law, let the people see, understand, and practically exercise it on themselves. So sweet water lets the people exercise the water on themselves. So we know the salt water, if you pour it on the garden, it is not good. You need lake water, rain water, sweet water to put on the growing thing, not with the salt in it. The mistake that these Old Testament people made was this. They took salt to mean the knowledge. Salt is not the knowledge. The depths of the water is the knowledge. But salt represents something else. The New Testament is not saying throw out the knowledge. It is saying throw out the reality. Salt, if you leave it out of the water, it becomes rigid. It will become a stone. Throw out the bitterness. Salt is bitterly taken too large of a quantity. throw out the emphasis on rigidity. So this emphasis on blind obedience to laws, let the people see the law and understand the law and be able to practice it, practically exercise the law on themselves without people imposing it upon them without the knowledge. Then you will take the salt or the salt solid and it will be sweet water. They understood it. So salt was not something that just became a problem in the New Testament, and the Old Testament, Lot's wife, was turned into a pillar of salt. Why was she turned into a pillar of salt? This will help us understand what salt means in the scripture. So Lot's wife was turned into a pillar of salt . This will help us understand what salt means in the scripture. Lot's wife was turned into a pillar of salt because she looked at that, the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. And the order came cautioning them, people, warning them, whatever you do, do not look back. It said God was going to lead them out of the fire. But it said, warning came saying, let no one look back, because Sodom was a terrible place. It had done terrible things. It had become a perverse, very much like some of the streets of San Francisco. Depths of the water is the knowledge. Salt water is deep knowledge of human nature. So salt out of the water becomes rigid or stone. The sensitivity people didn't want was the salt water. Now, what are they talking about? The Old Testament. The water of the human wood would have become too bitter for the masses of the people. Their sensitivity was distasteful, did not have any appeal. The water that the people did not want was the salty water. So the water of the ocean, what is salt water? Salt water comes from the ocean, and it has depths. It is very deep. So what does this represent? It represents knowledge, education, and sciences of the human nature had become dead, dull things for the people. It didn't have savor. If the salt has lost its savor, what good is it than to expect to be thrown out into the earth? But it was good for a long time. So Lord, let the people see, understand, and practice practically, exercise it on themselves. Sweet water, let the people exercise law themselves. So we know that the salt water, put it on the garden, it is not good. You need lake water, rain water, sweet water to put on the growing thing, not with the salt in it. The mistake that these Old Testament people made was this. They took salt to mean the knowledge. Salt is not the knowledge. The depths of the water is the knowledge. But salt represents something else. The New Testament is not saying throw out the knowledge. It is saying throw out the reality. Salt, if you leave it out of the water, it becomes rigid. It will become a stone. Throw out the bitterness. Salt is bitterly taken too large of a quantity. Throw out the emphasis on reality. This emphasis on blind obedience to law. Let the people see the law and understand the law and be able to practically exercise the law on themselves without people imposing it upon them without their knowledge. Then you will take the salt, or it will be sweet water. They understood it. Salt was not something that just became a problem in the New Testament. In the Old Testament, Lot's wife was turned into a pillar of salt. Why was she turned into a pillar of salt? This will help us understand what salt means in Scripture. Lot's wife was turned into a pillar of salt because she looked at the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. And the order came cautioning the people, warning them, whatever you do, do not look back. It said God was going to lead them out of the fire. But it said warning came saying, let no one look back, because Sodom was a terrible place. It had done terrible things. It had become so perverse, very like some of the streets of San Francisco. It was terrible, and God fired down on them. So the punishment of those people was so terrible to behold. So Lot's wife looked back, means I sympathize or I like the punishment. And Lot's wife was a woman who was in charge of the discipline of the children. And she looked back. Looking back, what does it say? Either my heart is a little bit with those people who are being punished, or I like punishment that they are getting. Why would I want to look back? I either want to look back because my heart is with them, but look, the impulse to look back indicates more cruelty in me. It indicates that there might be a possible streak of cruelty in me. Then sympathy, because most people do not want to look at life suffering. So why would Lot's wife want to look back? She wants to look back because she loved what was happening. He was happy over what was happening. He wanted to look at the people being destroyed. So the Bible says she became a pillar of salt. So when you say someone is salty, you mean that they are not friendly at the time. They are hard to get along with. They are bitter. They have turned into a pillar of salt, meaning the whole self becomes rigid and bitter. Darkness like waves can't see hands. Darkness upon the face of the deep. Of the deep means sternness, and ships have a stern. Now let's go back to the ocean and see if we can understand what salt means in that ocean. It means sternness. The ships that goes out in the ocean has what? A stern. It means sternness. The creatures in the lake, in the pond, they look juvenile. They look happy. But those creatures in the deep ocean look stern. So that is what it is referring to. They use salt, but actually, they are not talking about the depths of the water. We want depths of the knowledge, but what does the Quran say? And that depths of the water, it says, it is darkness layer upon layer. So soul, no man knows it. He has no vision under its gravity. Soul man has vision when the soul becomes structured by knowledge. That means no matter how deep you go down, it's darkness. So down here in the water of sensitivity of the soul, there is darkness. That is why God said, let there be light. No man knows his soul. No man has vision while he is under the gravity of his soul. So man has vision when the soul becomes structured by knowledge. So when his sensitivities or his structure under the influence of knowledge, then he has vision, then he has light. Salt does not respond to touch. Water does, not pliable like clay. So we don't want to get too stern. If we get too stern, we have no sensitivity, and the little children will suffer. Their mother has become a pillar of salt. Stern, insensitive salt doesn't shake. Water shakes. Water responds to touch. Salt does not respond to touch. And it is not like clay. Clay is a material that you can mold it. You can work with it. It is platable. But salt, you put water with it and try to put it in together, it dissolves itself. The only thing that you can do is put it in a container, leave it there, and let it harden and become a rock. Mary represents sweet water. Adam represents the first generation. Jesus represents the second generation. Imam, some too stern, like pillars of salt, too rigid. Mary, why did we connect this? Because Mary represents sweet water, not salt water. And the need for a new woman to bring forth a new generation, Adam represents the first generation in the Christian terminology. Jesus Christ represents the second generation or the second Adam. So the necessity was because there was too much regality, too much insensitivity in the religious world. So a message came that appealed to the state of the people. Savor without the salt, like sweet water. So when you get too much salt, what do you want? You want water without salt. So they had given the world too much salt, too much sternness, like some of these imams who come here and want us to follow them, looking like pillars of salt. No human life at all in them, walking around looking otherworldly. And they think we're going to follow them. Ship them out on the first rocket going into Neverland. Just keep floating on out there. We don't want them. We're not going to accept them. And they will never be successful amongst us. I can go to sleep and sleep for 100 years and give them freedom to lead this community. And when I wake up, all I will find on that sun, all that's gone, and I will have to put it back together. They will be sitting in a corner somewhere with two nuts or two cubes of salt. I'm not bragging. I'm trying to save your life. Soul properties and water properties, minimum, when one. Faith, because we learn to trust something. Faith is a priority of the soul, property of the soul, pardon me. So soul is the seed of the core of the sensitive nature. Let's now look at the property of the water or the property of the soul, our sensitivity or soul, and steered by fear, love, faith as a result of something. We relenting from what? From trust. I have learned to trust something. I have become faithful. I have faith because I have seen that I can trust this from this mother, daddy, brother, cousin, uncle, grandpa, police officer, or policeman, or the friend down the street. Whatever we have faith in, it is because we are having a relationship with the person or thing we have found, we can trust it. Seed, order, and development succeeded sensitivity, water to land, soul, life, movement. So fear, love, faith, and devotion. Faith is a property of the soul. So we find later in scripture, faith is seen in material concept, seen. So here we have sensitive nature of the human being, and that seed or that core, that sensitive nature is called what? Soul. Now, we have soul coming into the land. It has come out of the sensitive life, or out of its sensitivity, and it has become like the material. So what does that mean? It has no disturbance in it. It has trusted so much. It has so much trust that it has become rested. But there is an orderliness in it. So the seed has the pattern of orderliness and the development. So order and development now has taken over and has succeeded sensitivity. Isn't this the necessary requirement for real scientific progress? When our sensitivity becomes obedient to order and development processes, that is when we become scientific in our thinking. So the Quran, Surah 30, Ayah 23, Allah made the day for activity. The Quran, Surah 38, Ayah 72, when I have breathed into him of my spirit. Genesis 1:2, darkness upon the face of the deep. Education is from the sensitive of the soul. Arrows 2, one God's purpose, the other is Muhammad's will. Scripture says that the spirit move along the surface of the water, and God said, let there be light. So God is saying that if you only become sensitive to my cause and purpose, my spirit will move you with sensitivity. So the Quran says it was shot two arrows from one bow going to the top. The will of God and the spirit of Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, went as two arrows fired by the same bow. So it means the natural power and potential that God gave man in creating him, and that how and that bow has now become very tense. It strains to reach God's purpose. It fires, and when it fires at a thing, it is aimed at the same two. One is God's purpose and God's will. The other is Muhammad's prayers and the peace be upon his will and his obedience to God's purpose. So they go parallel at the same speed or the same target. And the spirit is moved along on the face of the water. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. That he placed a small lamp in the sky. So this is speaking to the evolution of light, knowledge. He placed something up there to reflect the light of the sun. So the sun had not been placed up there yet, but he put something in the heavens of the leadership to reflect the light before it even was done. It was already there, ready to receive. The moon was put up there, and it didn't say the moon was shining. It did not say the moon was put up, and it was a beautiful, shining, illuminating object. No, it was just put up there. It says, and then he caused the sun to be put there. It came up in the heavens, and now he said, let there be light. But look how light evolved. Light evolved from sensitivity and the soul, or the spirituality. So this is what welcomes God's light. God's love for what he saw happening in the water, he blessed it with his guidance or with his inspiration. and in the water came light. Science says the moon is black. Look in your paper if you want some evidence for what I'm saying. It is black. It hasn't shown any light yet. Doesn't that make you know now, you who are sane, rational, sensible, and morally responsive, didn't that make you know now that God has taken a little Negro from Elijah Muhammad and lifted him up to the highest place in understanding of his truth? I said that the condition had to be brought about for the spirituality before the sun's knowledge, before the sun, knowledge can rise. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, he has made the day for activity. As long as we are just having spiritual life without guidance and materiality for material world, we have no activity. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying to us how we evolved as creation. He is saying to us that the benefit of my material world will only come to you in saint small amounts. But if you are ever turned on to my guidance to evolve as I designed for you to evolve, you will come into the big material accomplishments. So the Quran, Surah 30, Ayah 28, God, your share, money, equal. The Quran, Surah 30, Ayah 78. Quran, light revealed in the night, divine nature. The Quran, Surah 30, religion of nature. So the Quran is light, but it was revealed in the night. It was revealed in the darkness. It was brought in the darkness and came by way of darkness. What kind of darkness? Not the darkness of ignorance, but the darkness of divine nature that God puts in the creation. And the Quran came following the natural way of God. It didn't come through man's learning. Prophet Muhammad, praise and the peace be upon him, he didn't get the Quran through the man's knowledge, through human knowledge. He got the Quran through divine inspiration. And by divine inspiration, Prophet Muhammad, praise and the peace be upon him, was made to see that this light is supported by creation and the law of creation. So there is the darkness of creation and the darkness of the natural law. So the darkness of the natural law, even in man's bare witness, supports the light of the Quran. Allah said it is deen, al-fitra, the deen, the religion of nature, the nature in which it completed all things, the very pattern on which he made the creation and the human being, mother for child. The Quran, Surah 31, Ayah 14, mother bears child in pain. A mother, if she can sacrifice, if she can be a martyr, not to kill herself, not to kill her blood, if she can sacrifice herself, be a martyr to live selfless, die to this world, die to the temptation of this world. So this world is saying to the mother, you need some pleasure. Leave these babies here unattended. Leave them with that no-count woman or with those youngsters over there. Yes, sister, you are going to be tested. And I'm going to tell you, you are going to have to be courageous and brave and fearless. You have to be so bold and have such faith and conviction that you will kill yourself to please Allah. I don't mean cut your throat. I mean kill your desires. You know I'll be happy if I could go to the show today. I know I'll be happy if I could go with them to the museum today or to the park or to the party today. I know I'll be happy. But if I go, the children won't be happy. They won't be protected. Stay there. Live in pain if you have to, these youngsters, because they are our tomorrow. And let me tell you something, sister. Let me tell you something. Allah will be your protector, yes. There are people who will say, oh, sister, I pity you. You never go anyplace. You never have any enjoyment. But you will know in your own heart that Allah will show you a show bigger than their show. Allah will enter into your private life, and he will give you comfort. He will give you intelligence. He will give you faith that all you are doing will be rewarded. And you will have your parties, and you will have your pleasures. They will be suffering in it. Be without the pleasures and be in heaven. Man kills self-desire. Live in prison of self-imposed. And the men, brothers, you have to kill yourself. I mean, kill your desire for these freakish things of this world. Kill your desires for it. You have to live in prison. As long as we are in this un-Islamic society, we have to live in prison. And our prison is the prison of Islamic life, the prison of Islamic law, Islamic ethics, for building an Islamic society. And if we do this, we can change this whole world. There is nothing in this world that won't fall or move aside for us if we establish Islamic purity, Islamic examples in this society. So God loves all humanity like mother loves their children, all children. The Quran, Surah 31, Ayat 14 to 15, mother traveled upon travel, bored him. Al-Hadith, page 182 and 1. Mother loved three times. The true real mother, she cares about all of her children equally. No matter how bright one will be over the other, he will be awfully hurt if she thought that the bright one was looking down on the other one. That would hurt her terribly. She might even give him a good whipping, very good one. And he might cry for months. So later when he thinks about the whipping he got, he might say, oops. A good mother cares all about all of her children. And that's how God wants us to see him. See how I have put it into the mother, my care for human beings. See how she cares about all of them. And no matter how much one excels another, when it comes to the right treatment and the right respect, she brings it to them and enforces it. Isn't that wonderful? And this is just one feature of good mothers that I'm giving you. She has many good features. So different religions, beliefs, yet family relations keep. The Quran Surah 31, Ayah 14, family relations keep those different religions. The Quran, Surah 64, Ayah 14, amongst your spouse, children are enemies. So even if my parents reject the religion and try to get me to come to Christianity, knowing that I have gone to Al-Islam, I am not to obey them. I am to try to keep good company, good relations with them in this life, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not want to see family members broken. He wants to see family members stay together, if possible. So if you can live under a parent, then you have to stay somewhat away. You have to go to yourself, but still, you should remember that is your parent and keep good relations with that parent. Go visit them, call them up. Call them up on the phone. Correspond with them. Let them know that you are their child and you love them. that you dislike not for them. Your dislike is not for them. It is for the problems that exist between you. So you see, so this we have to understand. Now I think that the question here would be, is there enemies to us and our family? Not necessarily. Didn't say every family. It is referring to the family in general. That is, some families you are going to have enemies to you and your religion. And another question might be, what does it mean by cover up? So this is an English expression. The Arabic expression doesn't mean cover up, because cover up in our language means to hide a wrong. We don't hide a wrong. We don't encourage a person to be or to hide a wrong, but don't harp, don't dwell on it, and don't be so quick to point it out. It doesn't mean cover it up. It means pass it by. The Quran, Surah 32, Ayah 4 to 5, throne over heaven and earth. So what is meant now in this relationship from God in Quran that his throne extends now over the heavens and the earth, is that man must not depend upon his human urges, his natural urges, for the establishment of his society or his community life. Man must be educated. So man must discover knowledge, wisdom, science, and direction for his life and creation of the God. So with the education, this is possible. The study of the skin enables the dermatologist to keep us, to help us more with skin problems. The study of the whole body of a human life form. Clay, youth, minds, walk. So Quran Surah 32, Ayah 7, Allah created you from clay. So clay is flesh, elements of the society. So the book says he made the man from clay, and the Holy Quran says that God began the creation of man from something no more than clay. He didn't say he made him from clay, but he started with something no more than clay. So that gives us a little more understanding. This program is brought to you by New Africa Excellent Enterprise, LLC, Imam Dr. Miraj Speaks, Block Talk Radio. So the story to help us out and much more knowledge comes out as continue to read the Holy Quran. Now, let us look at clay. It's something that can be formed with the hand. You can put it into any shape that you want. So here is another description of the weak or flesh, new element of society. They do not have knowledge. They are not prepared. They cannot resist the world because they do not have anything to resist with. So whatever hands, they fall in those hands, leaving in dictation in terms that we have to constantly be battling with the forces of the world, putting in dictations in the young minds of our girls and boys, forming them in the wrong form before they can get stronger to protect themselves. The Quran Surah 32, Ayah 7, creation of man from clay. The Quran Surah 7, Ayah 12, I'm better, you created me of fire. The Quran Surah 23, Ayat 12 to 14, man from clay, sperm, clot, bone, flesh. So man from clay means you had no power to resist God. God told us in the Quran how he makes us and how we get out of that original makeup. And he shows us again how to get back into it. He says he began your creation from something no more than clay. What is meant by this clay? Clay is a manageable material. Clay is agreeable material. So God did not take any disagreeable material, no stubborn, rebellious, arrogant material, when he wanted to set about making his human being. He picked something like clay, meaning that when he started to form you, you had no power to resist him. You were unformed. You had no mind of your own. You could not question. You could not resist. You didn't have anything to use to question with. So the Quran says that the angel said, "Oh God, we have no knowledge except what you gave us." So Iblis from fire, by my faculties, burning the midnight oil. But Satan said, "I refuse to bow, God. I'm better than what you are asking me to bow to. You created him from black mud, fashioned into shape, and you created me from fire." He was created from something like fire, meaning, "I have come into my form by rational activity. I have been burning my faculties, burning the midnight oil. I have been thanking God and figuring out things for myself. I have come up with a civilized order for society. I came up with it in the hard way. Now, do you want me to bow down to somebody just because they are morally right? Just because they are spiritual? God, I don't want to bow to something made of earth, fashioned into earthly shape, but does not have a power, powerful rationale, not lit with the power of reasoning, logic, etc. He did not come through the struggle like I did, beating my way through the wilderness, conquering the soil, the water, the vegetation, the animals. Even I brought the angels. Don't you see now that electricity, magnetism, heat, and all the other forms of energy invisible behind these things are now in my control? God, don't you see that? Even intelligence bows to me, that even human nature bows to me, that even human spirit bows to me. Thing that you are asking me to pick, you're going to pick, is something beneath me, something that I will have to carry along like a baby. I have to give it civilization, food, clothing, shelter, schools, and etc. Now you are going to ask me to now bow down to this cheap, black, stinking mud thing? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "When I have breathed into him of my spirit, bow down to him. And if you don't like it, get out of here." God said, "Get down from here." Allah's breath is a sign in creation and scripture. So we have been thinking that God said, "Woo," blowing, and man stood up. No. No, indeed. God said, "Let me tell you about your creation from clay. Let me tell you how I brought you from clay to thick water." God began preaching scientific facts of creation in human nature through his prophet, prayers and the peace be upon him, through his divine signs in creation. That was his birth. God's man says, "I used to be stinky mud, fashioned into shape. Now I'm sweet smelling. The mud has turned into a mere state and has turned into a clean morality. So you still see the same old physical form, but you had better bow down because God has ordered, and he says, come liking it or disliking it, you have to bow." So man from clay, sperm, clot, bone, flesh. Teflon is baby. Teflon is clay. So he says he began the creation of the human being from something no more than clay. Then he formed a semen drop, thick water, the germ of life, from the male that goes into the female. He formed him a thick watery semen drop, nufatin. Nufatin. So when we look at that semen drop, it looks foggy but pretty clear. So we can see specks are in it. So the world has taught us to look at this as filth. Don't even think semen drops is filthy. sinful, because God says you're talking about a stage in your development. So this is not the first base of this. In fact, this is the second up the ladder. So the law that I accepted was something like clay, meaning something that had no mind or knowledge to resist or to question with. It had nothing but the nature God gave, had given it. So when knowledge came, it just obeyed. Isn't this the nature of babies? Clay in Arabic is tefla. Baby in Arabic is tefla. The two words have the same basic letter, T-F-L. So you see, when the book says he created the human being from something like clay to those people who received it first, it meant I created you from a baby, from a child who had no knowledge to rebel, no knowledge to stand up and challenge with. You could do no more than just accept and come into form. That is what God is saying, because the baby is like clay. So we take that clay and we make any shape we want out of it. Clay in dictation is symbolic of reminder. We can make it soft, which means soft in society. And somebody speaks to it politeness, we can make it hard. And somebody speaks to it and it says, or it asks, who in the hell are you talking to? Then somebody comes with a hammer and the clay just falls all apart and can't be put back together. But that soft clay, they can come with a hammer and it leaves an indentation. They did not break it up. It remembered. That indentation is a reminder, a sign. Don't do that again now. You don't want a whole lot of indentations all over you. That hard one, you can't correct it. You can't discipline it. You hit him and he breaks up, crumbles down. And you have to throw that clay out. What are you going to do with that clay? You can't do anything with it. Sperm is like water, but cloudy represents the world's mind. The Quran says, then from the clay or from the baby nature, he made us something like water, but cloudy. So when we come out of that baby state and begin to learn something of the world, the mind that was clear gets cloudy. Now, a mind has been formed. First, we were dealing with nature. So the mind had not been formed. Now we are not dealing with the nature. The flesh was good. Was there anything wrong with the flesh? So this is what the Holy Quran is telling us. Don't you see that I make babies and they do not have anything wrong with them and they are flesh? But once the mind starts to form in them, then you start having problems because you put the wrong things in their mind. So their minds are kind of foggy. I give them a kind of foggy mind from the start because I want them to go into the light so that they will appreciate it. But I never blot out all of the light. Just a few areas are foggy. But when you take over the mind, then you begin to let that keep on going. After making the clay, then it says a semen drop, a drop of thick watery fluid, a little life germ from the male body. That's kind of foggy, but yet you can see through it. It is transparent. Then it says that he put it lodged in a place of rest. Where is that place of rest? It is in the mother's care. When does the baby rest? He or she rests when it is in the mother's arms. So God gives that semen drop to mama. But we think it is talking about the womb of the mother, from the male organ or the man to the womb of the woman. We think it means just reading it literally. the womb of the woman. But it means he puts her into her charge. And in her charge, that child is at rest. He nurses on his mother's breast. He sleeps in his mother's lap. She by nature has been designed to give him the proper care. If nobody interferes with nature, it is going to develop to a high state. So clot of blood means some knowledge is in the mind. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, then a clot of blood. Now, we think of this being in the mother's womb again. That form, that semen drop, tells us that drop becomes a clot of blood. Not a clot of blood as such, but his mind is growing now. It's no more transparent. Some objects have gotten into his mind. So when his mother first received him, there was no objects in his mind. It was just a little fogginess, the absence of knowledge. But his mind was pure like water clear. But then with his mother, as she stayed there in that place of rest, it begins to take on ideas from the society. So these ideas from the society makes it a clot of blood, meaning that now it has human life. Blood is called a life. So human life is not physical body's life. Life here means knowledge from the human mind has come into the child's mind and has brought the birth of a human mind in the child's mind. Before the child received that knowledge of our human society, it did not have a human mind. It just had a mind. And that mind was submissive and agreeable with truth. Not only that, kindness. I do not care how ugly the baby looks or how irritable it seems to be when it comes from its mother's womb. We can get a pleasant response from that baby. The little baby smiles and it has no teeth, but it shows us those gums. Sometimes it smiles, just can't hardly stop smiling. What he learned from us that he can smile about? Nothing. Why is he smiling? Because God put it in his nature. God made flesh beautiful, submissive, kind and loving. He did not make it sinful. But we begin to feed our crazy walk, distorted, lying, false ideas. And then the child takes on any ugly nature. So you are going to be a little wild, but you are going to be better off, I assure you. You will be stronger. You think you know where the power is in this. No, the power is in God's guidance. You want power? Just sit here and listen, and you will have power. Blood, life of the body. Mind is the life of your flesh. Brain dead legally, though life is in the body. So he tells us in the Quran, after the clot of blood, after we have taken on ideas from society, where does the blood come from? The blood comes from the flesh of our parents, of people. So this means that the life of the body, the Bible says blood is the life of the body. So the life of your flesh is your mind. Your mind moves your body. So when your mind becomes dead, they usually take a brain wave test, ECG, and if they don't see any signs or activities in your brain, though your body is still alive, they call you legally dead. Salakallahuladeen, surely Allah speaks the truth. I'm your host for this evening, Elihu Bey. We will continue this tomorrow at 7 p.m., inshallah. It only means if it please God. We thank New Africa Excellent Enterprise, LLC, Imam Dr. Maraj Speaks, for allowing us to come before you once again. And we thank you, our honorable listening audience. May God guide us and have mercy on us and bless us with the light of understanding as I greet you in the Arabic language. As-salamu alaykum, peace be unto you, and thank you for listening.